But more than that, that perhaps God has been speaking to you through various things. So the fifth session, we're going to be talking about, thinking about, the fulfilling God. The fulfilling God. But just before I say any more, let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that we are in your presence. And Lord, you take us as we are. We come with things on our minds, distractions, problems, issues. We come with thanksgiving as well. But we also come as sinful people, people that have tripped up this week, have messed up, have not got things right, have not been thinking the right way. And Lord, we just want to come this morning and be reset. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will do that for us. Come upon us, I pray. And regardless of the words that are said and the songs that we sing, may we know deep in our hearts your love for us. Amen. Right, so, are you fulfilled? I'm not talking about breakfast this morning, okay? Do you feel fulfilled? So if I had said on a rating from 0 to 10, how far do you feel? Would you say you're a 10? Or let's go 6 and above. Who would say they're 6 and above? 6 and above. That's good. That's good. Those that are less than 6. It's an odd question, isn't it? And I didn't really expect a proper answer, because what does that mean? You know, when do you ask? When does someone ask, are you fulfilled? Not quite sure what you mean, really. I guess the nearest we get to it may be in job interviews, where people say, do you find your job fulfilling? Or appraisals, that sort of thing. And maybe we're asked then. But to be fulfilled, it's almost... well, I'm not quite there yet. What does that really mean? Quite often it's the thing we say, their life was fulfilled. Something perhaps at the end, but not necessarily in between. So what does fulfillment mean? Well, let's have a look. There's just a few definitions there. To make someone satisfied or happy through allowing their character or abilities to develop fully. That's quite a good one. To achieve or realise something desired, promised or predicted. That's pretty good too. A simple one, perhaps, to attain our potential. What does that really mean? Well, let me just talk about what that means to me in practice. There's me as a schoolboy. Not really. But if I'll just share, going to secondary school was not a great time for me. I was... pretty low weight. I was what they might call skinny, wouldn't believe that now, but I was. And I used to get picked on a bit. I had some friends, but I found school both exciting, but challenging and hard. As I looked at things, what I might do, there was a lot of topics to choose from, and I didn't necessarily choose the best ones. I seem to remember not being allowed to enter art. CSE as they were then. So you can see how bad I was at art. And it was a hard time. I did take some O-levels and I did pass some O-levels. And I went on to do A-levels, which I failed. And that was hard. I then stayed on to what was called sixth form then to do a retake. And again, I failed. And so school life and exams in particular was not a good time for me. And I found that very difficult. I had high aspirations for what my career might be, but I knew I needed to get some good qualifications in order to go for them. And those seemingly wasted years ended up really with me going to the default employer, some of you might remember, called the Greater London Council. If you didn't have a job in those days, you could apply to the GLC to become a clerical assistant or a clerical officer. So it was a job that, by default, people often did because they didn't know what else to do. So it was not a great time. I was a Christian. I became a Christian in my early years. Going to church, and my family, and my mother, and my grandmother had a great influence. But as I said, I think I might have mentioned last week, I went to the Billy Graham Crusade in 1966, and that was pretty life-changing for me. And yet, what was really going on here? Because my faith was there, but my aspirations and what I wanted to do were somewhat out of kilter. I'll tell you a little bit more later about my experiences. But I'm sure we've all had those life experiences, those paths, those separate tracks, sometimes leading us into cul-de-sacs, and we wonder, why am I here? Or a dead end, and you think, what's going on? And it may be you've known God during that time, maybe you haven't. But life experiences take us to places. Sometimes we wonder why we're there. And the aspirations that we have and aims we have fall down. So what does it mean to be fulfilled? What does it mean to be unfulfilled? And that's probably where we don't attain what we want to do. We don't attain something that really drives us and fills us. And it could be in work. Many people are locked into jobs where they're just there because they need to earn some money and put bread on the table. Sometimes it's to do with families and having different families, split families, and relationships that have broken down. Sometimes it's to do with other things, relationships, personal relationships, that we find unfulfilling. Maybe your dream in life hasn't come true. What you wanted hasn't happened, not yet. Maybe there are unresolved issues. Maybe you're feeling a bit of a failure, that little has been really achieved. Sometimes, you know, we need to think, could it be that because we've left God behind, our faith has been on one track, but our life has been on another? Sometimes that happens. And Barbara's going to come and read to us from Isaiah.
So Isaiah 35. Joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongues shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Thanks. It was Isaiah 35. Good one perhaps to have a look at in your own time at some point. So why am I referring to this passage in the Old Testament? What's this about? And what's this got to do with what we've been thinking about, fulfillment? Well, the context is about the fall of Jerusalem. Here were a people that were utterly defeated. They had, the old covenant, had believed that God, this was God's chosen people, and that he was going to rescue them, he was going to make them the centre of the world, and all nations would effectively bow to Israel, because they were God's special people. And here they were suffering from an unfilled destiny. They were defeated. They had been disobedient time and again. They were confused and they were lost. And then we hear this prophecy from Isaiah to his people, to the people. And it's a bit like the sun rising in the wilderness. And as we read some of those words about being a desert in a parched land, it speaks about unfulfillment. It speaks about a thirst of God's people. And later on in a passage, it contrasts with water that will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And here was to come fulfillment and the quenching of thirst. In the Old Testament, God identifies himself as the spring of living water, the one who satisfies our deepest thirst for fulfillment. In the New Testament, we read, of course, of Jesus. And Jesus talks about himself as being the living water. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up into eternal life." And of course, this prophecy we read in Isaiah foreshadows effectively what will happen later when Christ himself will come. God himself will come to rescue his people. No more prophets, no more kings, no more leaders, but Christ will come himself and give himself for us. And so the importance of this is that it encourages the people when they were lost. They were, many of them were so committed and were God-fearing people, and yet they were just suffering and just going through this desert experience because they knew not what. And yet the prophet comes to them and encourages them and tells them that God is with them and will be with them, and he will come and rescue them. So, back to a little bit of a story. My route out of there, with no exams, I end up in the GLC, and there I spent a little bit of time being a clerical officer and doing what clerical officers do, whatever that, shuffling paper, I think it was. I well remember, actually, I was on doing wages for labourers and what they call chainmen, and several times when I got the payroll wrong, I used to have the wrath of labourers knocking on my door to sort them out. Anyway, by the by, from that I got into, I took an aptitude test and I went into the computing department there, and hence that started my life in IT, where I spent my career really. And more stories to tell from that. But so I was in there, I was earning a good wage. I met the love of my life. And things were really going well. And so I was saving up, putting money aside. And life was, in many ways, good. And yet I had this nagging doubt. I'd been there about 5 years. I was one of the men in the blue coats, spring tapes on behind glass panels, glass windows and things, doing all that. And but I had a nagging doubt there was something more. I had money, I had a good partner, future wife, and all these things were really good. Life was good. But I had this nagging down inside, there's something more. There was something not there. And it was through my church, through Christians talking and counselling me, that I found that I needed to go to Bible college. This was just something I needed to do. And then, effectively, God made a way. As I trusted him, because I did have some money, but that wasn't enough to get me to college and survive. Yeah, I couldn't get a grant. I had gifts, fortunately, and I had another way that God gave money, which I'll save for another time. But I put and trusted him, and suddenly I found this was so fulfilling, because here, the track that I was on was not the one that God had for me. It was as though they were running in parallel, but not quite there. And yet when I committed myself to say, Lord, I want to follow you, what's best here? Then I found that track came together into one, and God led me and showed me a way forward. God is far more concerned about the development of our character and our relationship with him than anything else, because this has eternal significance. We're told in the New Testament that we're to become like Jesus. Jesus came to model the way that his disciples and that we should live. It was the best he could do. And finally, dying on that cross to give us the key for eternal life. So that's important. Everything else is secondary. Everything else, our ambitions, the things that we do, the work we do, relationship, it spins out of that. But our first priority is the development of our character to become more like him. And to find our full potential and fulfillment is to find our identity in Christ. And each one of us this morning has that identity in Christ. He has a purpose for you, a unique life for you. He has got so many good things planned. And the danger is, and it increases with as you get older, as you think, is there anything more? And there is. God has got so much more for us that we can't imagine. So we should be excited about what he's going to show us for the future. We will be, there'll be the funeral of Jean Atkins this week, of course. Those that will remember and know her will remember how she was perhaps a little eccentric now and then, but she had such a love for Jesus. And you could see her eyes as soon as she started talking about Jesus. You could see the sparkle in her eyes. Oh, if we could follow that. Oh, if I could do that. And maybe the light of Christ would be seen in my eyes. So to attain our full potential and fulfillment is to find our identity in Christ. Billy Graham will be on people's minds because of his death over the week or so ago. One of the things he said, if you had it all that you're striving after, it wouldn't bring the peace and happiness that you're looking for. Why? Because it's found in Christ. We need to encourage each other. We need to help each other to see that. Sometimes clouds come, life just happens, and we don't see that. Sometimes the ambitions that we have, we don't see fulfilled. But the things that God has got for us will bring us peace and happiness. And he calls us, not only us, but the people that we're going to be meeting this week, tomorrow, there will be people that will come across our doorstep, that we'll meet on the train, that we'll meet who need to hear this message in some way. Barbara and I often have a laugh about, you heard about the glass half empty and half full. This is where, if it's half full, it's you're being optimistic, maybe overly. If it's half empty, you can be very pessimistic. So we often find ourselves at odds, and one of us may be a little bit more optimistic and the other a bit more negative about things. So it's a constant reminder. We say, is the glass half full or is it half empty? But people who wonder if the glass is half empty or half full miss the point. The glass is refillable. If you're leaking or half empty, it doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. God is there and he wants to fill us. If you're thirsty or going through a desert experience, maybe there are issues that you're constantly being faced with. There is a way through this. Jesus will bring you that life-quenching thirst, but life-quenching water to fill your lives. So the message this morning, and there's only one point in this sermon, is to come and be filled. Come and be filled and be fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus is standing with arms outstretched, ready to embrace. This is a lovely picture that I picked up of Jesus embracing. And he has that for us all the time. No matter how many times we trip up, no matter times we get it wrong, he's there. He loves us. He wants us to be fulfilled. God loves you this much. You know, I was reflecting on those of you who are involved with a 24/7 Bexley prayer time. I think it was a good time. I've had some feedback, and it was a good time that people experienced. One of the things that I felt was that you've got all these Christian agencies, and what a tremendous job they were doing. And many of you are engaged in that work. Many of you are working with these agencies, whether it's a food bank or it's a winter shelter, to help bring about God's people being fulfilled as they reach out to those that are thirsty. It's a real wonderful ministry. And in doing that, we're actually spreading that message of fulfillment that can be found in God. If Jesus is at our focus, at our centre, imagine what we can do. I don't think we can. But it is exciting because he has got so much more for us than where we are now. We're going to invite you to listen to a song in a minute. And this is a message, a song written as out of the message and mission of Billy Graham. It's called The Mercy Tree. Some of you may know it, some of you might not. But I would like us just to sit or stand if we want to join in and treat it as a moment of reflection. Because this brings our focus to what really God has done. It's a lovely song. After that, Alex will be introducing the last song together, and there will be a time for prayer. So if you would like someone just to pray with you through maybe something that's going on, pray for fullness as well. The Holy Spirit will only come to those that invite him. He will only fill those that want to be filled. But he will fill. We need to empty ourselves a bit, maybe, to receive that fulfillment, that fillment. But do come and speak with someone else if necessary at the end of the service. So we'll have that